More tough talk from the White House today on Iran, with the Secretary of State saying that an escalation is taking place, just a day after the U.S. announced it's deploying an aircraft carrier and bomber task force to the Middle East because of troubling indications from Iran. Joining me now is Aaron David Miller, a distinguished fellow at the Wilson Center and former State Department Middle East analyst and negotiator. Aaron, welcome.
It's great to be here, Jeremy.
So Bolton says that this deployment of the aircraft carrier is meant to send a clear and unmistakable message to Iran after unspecified threats. What do you make of this?
That's the real problem. This week is the first anniversary of the Trump administration's withdrawal from the JCPOA, and it follows on the heels of crushing sanctions, both against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and the denial of waivers designed to cut Iran's oil exports to zero. So this is part, generally, of the administration's maximum pressure campaign against Iran, designed to do what is unclear. Whether or not this recent maneuver is just part of the pressure campaign, or whether, in fact, there really is intel indicating a sizable attack. It would have to be such a sizable attack to warrant this. And I think, by and large, this strikes me as overkill.
But you say it's unclear. I mean, we spoke recently with Jason Rezaian of The Washington Post, who spent 544 days in an Iranian prison, who said that the plan from the administration, it's very unclear what their plan is when it comes to Iran, whether they're trying to be on a path to war with Iran or whether they're just trying to increase the economic pressure or what.
I mean, I think that's the issue. Clearly, their campaign of maximum pressure is wreaking havoc, not only with oil exports, but with the Iranian economy. If, in fact, the purpose of these sanctions is to draw the Iranians back to the table, then the administration would have to have a position on negotiating with the Iranians that, in addition to sticks, also put carrots on the table. And I don't see that as the administration's position. Now, they deny that the goal is regime change. But it strikes me that maximum pressure, you know, is that I think it's designed to try to create circumstances in which the regime could collapse or even change. And I think that's unlikely to come to fruition.
Okay, let's talk about what's going on in Israel and in Gaza. There's a ceasefire that's been reached after days of violence. What sparked this latest violence over the weekend?
I mean, look, it's part of the wash, rinse, and repeat cycle. I don't mean to trivialize it because it's tragic. It involves losses of lives on both sides, more on the Palestinian side, to be sure. You have a group, Hamas, whose raison d'etre and legitimacy is derived from armed struggle, which is governing 2 million people badly in the Gaza Strip and seeking to compel the Israelis to induce certain economic changes that would improve Hamas's capacity to deliver to its constituencies. And earlier on, before the Israeli elections, there were intense negotiations between Israel and Hamas to come up with a package of steps, expanding the fishing zone, ending restrictions on some goods being imported into Gaza. And I suspect Hamas, understanding that Israel is hosting the Eurovision contest, mm-hmm. singing contest in a couple weeks, and with Independence Day looming, sought to take advantage of the leverage to remind the Israelis of their commitments and their obligations and force an acceleration of this agreement. And I think it was incumbent. The Israelis were compelled, given the politics of the situation and the intensity of the shelling, to basically respond. But so far, it's resulted in the way these have usually ended, with the Egyptians launching an intense period of mediation, creating a ceasefire, which appears to be holding.
Well, and how do the politics in Israel play into this? Netanyahu just got a fifth term as prime minister last month. He's also facing a potential indictment soon.
Right. And he's also facing a number of right-wing parties, particularly Mr. Lieberman's party, who was minister of defense and is likely to be given that portfolio again. And he's advocated a much tougher line. So the notion that the prime minister is going to make major concessions to Hamas during the period of government formation is fanciful thinking. I suspect if the Egyptians mediated anything, it was a commitment on the part of the Israelis to begin these rather basic steps with any more meaningful concessions or decisions made on prisoner releases, the development of infrastructure in the Gaza Strip, reserving those for much later.
And just to be clear, you were serious about saying that Eurovision is playing into both sides here, the Eurovision contest coming up?
Yes, it's a huge deal for the Israelis. And even though every Israeli public official said that the Eurovision schedule is not going to allow or change Israel's efforts to defend itself, which is true, there's no question that cancellation of that would be a blow to Israel's prestige.
That's Aaron David Miller, a distinguished fellow at the Wilson Center and former State Department Middle East analyst and negotiator. Thanks as always.
Jeremy, thank you.